I'm so high, I can hear heaven. I am so high, I can hear heaven. Whoa, but heaven, no heaven, don't hear the latest Columbia House Party single. Jake, what's up, man?
Not much. That's because we are a rock and roll podcast, and that's Satan's music. So, yeah. You know, that joke.
I was torn on the intro. one, because for the second week in a row, I really wanted to sing the intro for this single. Yeah. After Lips of an Angel last week, it was basically like, is there a way to do karaoke online right now? Like, let's fire it up. This was another one.
This one and Lips of an Angel, I feel like have two of the more, at least for like our generation, two of the more recognizable first lines of songs.
Yeah, which kind of took some of the fun away from doing those intros.
I think it's fair.
Because you know what it is right away. Like, I thought about, you know, throwing the towel-y voice at the I'm so high.
But that's a very different song.
People would have thought we were doing, like, the Funky Town song. anyway, this is your latest Columbia House Party single. The main episode on Monday, we talked about Dashboard Confessional and the song Vindicated, which was this massive single off of the Spider-Man 2 soundtrack, and it got us talking about the Spider-Man 1 soundtrack. So while these things are not really related, today we're talking about the big single off the Spider-Man 1 soundtrack, which is Hero by Chad Kroeger featuring Josie Scott. It is awesome. By the way, this is the best supergroup ever assembled that didn't get its own name. The fact that this song is credited to Chad Kroeger featuring Josie Scott is so annoying. So this is, listen to who's on this. Chad and Mike Kroeger of Nickelback, Josie Scott of Saliva, Tyler Connolly of Theory of a Dead Man, Matt Cameron of Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, and Jeremy Taggart of Our Lady Peace, and a guy named Brian Larson from the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra. You have Nickelback, Saliva, Theory of a Dead Man, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, and Our Lady Peace all together on a song, and you don't come up with a supergroup name for them?
I'm not gonna lie, I had no idea that Matt Cameron was on this song.
Yeah, so he's not in the video, which is missing. Right. Like, Jeremy Taggart from OLP is in the video because Matt Cameron was, I guess, unavailable for it. So Cameron's the drummer on the track. But you look at that roster and, like, you couldn't really conceive of a more powerful early 2000s alt-rock group from bands that people will, in 2020, downplay the degree to which they like them, but were unquestionably very, very popular in the early 2000s.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm a fan of any of these bands. I don't think they're, like, god-awful or anything, as they sort of get played up to be. But I do think that we were talking last week with Lips of an Angel, and we were saying how that's sort of like the song that represents that era of rock radio. This is absolutely the group that represents that era of rock radio.
Like, quite literally. Like, it's like they picked an all-star team from the highest selling, like the highest selling rock albums of the early 2000s.
It's a high VoIP starting five.
Yes, there you go. By the way, we're almost certainly going to do a Nickelback episode at some point, a main episode, probably an Our Lady Peace one at some point too. For today, though, it's all about that Nickelback Saliva WWE pay-per-view theme song, Wet Dream Harmony from Spider-Man 1. This is Hero. I am so high.
Yeah.
just waste no time. It's like immediately.
No time at all.
No intro. Just
when you're trying to sell a film.
I feel like I was thinking this the other day because Cass and I were drunk and watching the video from the Charlie's Angels movie that came out earlier in the year or last year or sometime with Ariana and Miley. That doesn't sound like you guys
are getting drunk and watching bad music
videos. Yeah, it's strange. But like I was thinking, like, I feel like there used to be a time where like every big tentpole movie had, if not a song directly in the movie, or at least a song with a video accompanying it. I feel like we've gotten away from that in our world, and I want it to come back. Or maybe I'm just watching the wrong movies, which is also possible.
No, I think you're right. Like you know, I had this in penciled in for the next segment, but we could talk about it now. Spider-Man the movie, but we'll talk about the song in a bit, but the movie, you know, not only does it have a 7.3 on IMDb and a 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, it was the third highest grossing film of 2002 with a box office gross of $820 million worldwide, which meant it was basically, you know, there were a couple of these around that time, but it's in part credited for relaunching superhero movies to the forefront, and like superhero movies so heavily dominate the theater game today. But yeah, and like I'm not a big comic, I'm not anti-comic book. Like, I like the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and I like Thor Ragnarok, and, you know, I like the Watchmen show and stuff like that. I'm not against this stuff, but the, you know, I just can't keep up. But I think I would be more inclined to check out some of the movies that I otherwise wouldn't dive into if, like you said, like, if those ones had killer songs that, you know, were in the previews, and they weren't just recycled from other songs. Like, I remember, I think it was Vin Diesel's Triple X movie that used Click Click Boom from Saliva. And it's yeah. Like, that's a great song to promote that movie, but that song already existed.
When you said that this was number three at the box office, it actually surprised me because I thought it, because it did sort of launch superhero movies, I would have thought it was number one. So I looked it up and it was number one in the States, but number three worldwide. So, but sense. To your point, I think that, like, I know it's not because of the song. It's obviously not because of the song, but that
it
does
might be because of the song.
But like, they kind of go hand in hand. They launch each other. Like, Sum 41 had a music. There are two music videos that incorporate things from this movie by two different bands. Sum 41's "Rocks What We're All About" also is from this movie and also has a music video based on the Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. There you go, man. It seems like a straightforward formula. I like the newer Spider-Man movies more than like this era of Spider-Man movies. But I will say, Macho Man Randy Savage, rest in peace, wrestling as Bonesaw always gets a pop from me. And like Spider-Man beats him with just like, he just like flips him to the ground. And that's how he beats the big bad champion Bonesaw.
Well, he has spider powers.
Yeah, but all he does is, like, monkey flip him to the ground. He doesn't even do anything.
Well, he's not trying to kill him.
Well, he doesn't even get the pin. They're just like, it's over. It's brutal. It's
underground shady. Wrestling. Yeah. It's I like that you're the guy, you're definitely whose big problem with the Spider-Man movies is the wrestling rules not being followed.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's not, I want to suspend my disbelief, but not that much. We should talk about the actual song. We're going to do that after this. This song kind of, you know, obviously, like I said, we're going to do a Nickelback full episode at some point, but this song, like Nickelback, I think, is one that people roll their eyes at a little bit and don't want to admit is actually good.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know that you're a big proponent of the Nickelback are actually good theory.
I don't even know if it's good or just they're not bad. Like,
fair. I will agree that they are not bad to the extent that the internet treats them as bad. I will fully agree with that. I'm not going to say I ever listened to them or that I enjoy them. I will admit that I definitely own the CD that How You Remind Me is on, which I think everyone in Canada owns. But
yeah, it was mandatory.
I also think that, yeah, it's just like, oh, you're Canadian, here you go, here's your Nickelback CD. But I also feel that I find it really hard to reevaluate their songs and this song, because like I can recognize that it's a very well-constructed pop rock song. It does exactly what it's trying to do and no more, and has absolutely no more ambition to try anything more than it does. But it's so ingrained.
Isn't that a good summation of the rock genre in the early 2000s?
Totally. And like, I'm not faulting it for that, but it's impossible to divorce my brain from the narrative of this song End of Nickelback that has existed for like 20 years in my brain to objectively go back and be like, okay, this actually is a good song. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I have no objectivity towards it.
It's certainly catchy.
It's extremely catchy, and I can sing every word still.
Yeah. By the way, for background, Chad Kroeger wrote the song specifically for the film and its soundtrack. It was his first solo release. Josie Scott and Connolly also have writing credits. As Scott told Yahoo, Kroeger conceived of the idea, and then Scott flew up to Vancouver and they tweaked the harmonies and tried some different music arrangements and things like that. It was released as a single off the Spider-Man soundtrack, not off a Nickelback or Chad Kroeger album. It hit the top 10 in the charts in at least 10 different countries, including Canada, the US, and the UK. It hit number 1 on the Billboard Modern Rock charts and number 3 on the Billboard Top 100 charts. And it was nominated for Best Song Written for a Motion Picture, TV, or Other Visual Media. And it was nominated for Best Rock Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocal. And it was nominated for Best Rock Song at the Grammys. And it won Best Video from a Film at the 2000 MTV VMA. So this, it did, like you said, it did its job.
Yeah, I mean, it was everywhere and continues to be everywhere in this. Every time movie soundtrack songs or superhero movie soundtrack songs get brought up, it gets brought up because it was huge.
Yeah. Little personal aside here. So Nickelback was one of my first maybe 5 or 6 concerts. My parents had separated. My dad wanted to go on a road trip with me and my brothers. So we drove from Sarnia to Montreal and made stops at a couple different cities. Sarnia was hosting Bayfest that summer, and Nickelback played. And that was at the point where, you know, I had obviously wouldn't admit to liking Nickelback, but my dad wanted to go, and the pyro at their show was amazing. I'll go into that more when we eventually do a Nickelback episode. But what I will say is I'm a poor singer. One time I was in the car with my dad and this song came on and I was singing, and he said that when I'm not screaming or whining, I can actually sing okay. To which I would say, no, I can't. And why would I ever not scream or whine? Those are the two better. Screaming and whining are both preferable to singing for me. So this is, if we ever do a Columbia House Party karaoke night, I have it on good authority that this is the only song I've ever sung well. So keep an ear out for that.
Look, I don't know when karaoke will be allowed again, but boy, do I hope that happens, because I would love to see that.
You got to be my number two, man. You got to be my Josie Scott.
I'll be your Josie. Yeah. That should be the Columbia House Party like the War Brothers motto. You be my Chad, I'll be your Josie.
Oh boy. All right, that seems like a good enough time to end this episode. Guys, thank you so much for listening. This is your latest Columbia House Party single. Please rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. Patreon.com/Columbia House Party if you're inclined to support us. Jake, thanks so much, man.
See you, man.
Try the fish.